Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God. My name is Pastor Marquise, and we are a non-denominational church led by the living and active Word of God in the heart of Seattle, Washington, by Pastors Harold and Annis Faye Franklin. Whether this is your first time, second time, be sure to subscribe and share this with those that need it. Now join me and be ready to live and learn from the Word of God.
Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank God that you blessed us to be here today. God, I pray to God that you be glorified in our hearts and our lives. Oh God, and that your sermon, that God, that you prepared in my heart would be able to impact us, challenge us, and change us for the goodness and the sake of the gospel. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Let the church say, amen. Precious, can you actually bring my iPad? That'd be perfect. Just in case. But it's always good to have at least some of your sermon in your head, right? Amen. Well, I thank God. God, I was praying and I was like, God, what do you want me to talk about today? What is it that you want to speak to your people? And the thing that God has said and confirmed, because I was even thinking about, you know, Jesus being the light of the world. Amen. So as I was praying, I was like, God, show me what to say. And he said, the light of the world. What is the light of the world? What do we do with the light of the world? Anybody got an answer for that? We let it shine so other people can see the light. Amen. It's important as we celebrate Christmas or a lot of even people in the Hebrew, they have a festival of what? Lights. All right. They call it Hanukkah. What they do is they start the Festival of Lights on December 1st, I believe, right? It's pretty early. Okay. But we know a lot of the Hebrew festivals and things that they did were something that God implemented for them to do. Amen? And not only that, but we must understand what it means to have the light of the world. Now, it's interesting that we celebrate Christmas on the darkest day of the world. Why? Because Jesus came to the earth in the time that it was dark. Amen? We all believe that. We believe that the world was in dire need of a Savior, and the whole reason why Jesus came was to bring that light. Amen? So we're going to start with the definition of light. First of all, I looked it up. It says light is the natural agent that stimulates sight and makes things visible. Okay? Number two said it's an understanding of a problem or mystery. Or in other words, an enlightenment. And, you know, sometimes we don't like to use those words to describe it. But it's important to understand that God sent his son to make visible the way that he wants to accept. Amen? What do I mean by that? They had a sacrificial system that they constantly were living in. And Jesus and God spoke to his prophets and said, I'm tired of that. I don't want it because their hearts are far from me. So I'm going to send my son, and it was prophesied. This is the only reason why we believe that Jesus is a Savior, because he fulfilled so many prophecies that were spoken of before times by the prophets in the Old Testament. Okay? So as he came, God said, I'm going to show you guys how to do this thing. I'm going to send my son. So Jesus was the light of the world, but in two senses, he showed people the visible way to live for God, right? But he also gave an understanding of the sin problem that we had in our lives. Amen? He gave an understanding of the sin problem, but he also gave an understanding of the solution being accepting him and having a relationship with God. Amen? So this is the light of the world. Somebody say the light of the world. So when Jesus is our light, what Jesus does is he shines light. When we accept him, we understand, man, I was in dire need of him. Matter of fact, so check this out. People don't realize, or I'll say this, people don't accept Jesus without the Holy Spirit already enlightening them. Without the Holy Spirit telling them, hey, Bill, you need Jesus. Accept Jesus. Some of us are like, what? Right? How many of you remember the time that we accepted God in our lives? It wasn't because somebody just came and said something powerful to us. There was a burning desire inside of us that we needed something more. And we said, Jesus, I need you in my life. And we accepted that light. Amen. And he changed our life because we were able to see how dirty, how sinful, how sick and ugly we were. Everybody was ugly, right? We were all ugly when he shined the light on our life. But the great thing is when his light is shining, he begins to allow us to see what's in our life. And not only that, he cleaned us up so that we can let his light shine without any hindrances. Amen. But what does it mean when Jesus is your light? It means that now we become lights. Amen. Now, we are not the light. I'm not the light that shines everywhere, but I'm a light to, it's almost like we're like the moon, right? The moon reflects the sun. We reflect God now. Now that he has come into our lives, we reflect God. And Blaze, now she goes by Brian Miles, she always used to say that in one of her songs. Like the moon, we reflect God. What was that song called? Do you remember? I remember that. But it was so powerful because, once again, there is no light in us ourselves. We are not the light, but we reflect the light that has came and changed our lives. And guess what? Many people in the world will see your light, but sometimes they don't see God's light. Right? They haven't come to the realization of the light that they need, but they look at you and they say, man, there's something different about you. What is that? That's because we are reflecting the light. Amen. Interestingly, to this week, I had a Uber ride with some people of the Jewish or Hebrew faith. And they had just got out of a tent lecture, as they call it. And in the lecture, they were talking about peace. They were saying, hey, we're trying to figure out ways to get peace in the Middle East. And I was like, I don't normally say this kind of stuff, but I was like, unfortunately, I don't think it's going to get any better. Right? I think the only way that this life is going to have peace is when Jesus comes, when the Messiah comes. So, one of them was like, yeah, I believe what you're saying. Yeah, it's true. The other one was like, no, I believe we can achieve peace. Right? So then I asked them, what do you guys believe about the Messiah? Because I told them, I said, hey, the Bible is a lot of Hebrew books from are part of the Bible. Amen. We all know that the whole Old Testament is from Hebrew historical and prophetic books. But what they answered to me was, we're not worried about the Messiah. Now, this was very interesting, right? Because in the Old Testament, they just promised about the Messiah coming. The Messiah is coming. And then they said, the other person said, we believe it is a manifestation of peace. And I was like, man, that's pretty incredible. So what I began to see is that people in this world are not looking for the light. Right? If the Hebrews, the people that go worship together, they're worshiping God, but they still don't understand who Jesus is, but they're not looking for the Messiah, that's a problem. And many people are having issues in life because they're not looking for the light. Amen? Let's go to Genesis chapter 1. 1 thing that light gives us the ability to do, as I said earlier, is to see. Somebody say see. So look, even God had to turn on the light when he created the world. I'm going to read this real quick. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided it, the light from the darkness. Okay? God called the day, light the day, and darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Now, let's be clear about something. He's not talking about the sun in this right here, okay? He's not talking about the sun that shines on the earth, because later on, he creates that, okay? So God is talking about a light that would enable people. Number one, because if you look at it, it says, let there be light, and there was light, and God saw that there was light, and he called it day. I think it's day four where he actually makes the sun. Verse 14 says, what day is this? Yep. Verse 14, it says, then God said, let there be lights in the firmament. Okay, so now he's talking about different lights. All right, so when we talk about the light, we're not talking about the sun. We're not talking about stars, because that's what he's talking about here. All right, we're not talking about the moon, because the light that he was talking about was a light that was going to enable people to see. And also, this light produced good even before the earth was made. You guys catch that? That wasn't part of the creation. I'm sorry. Yeah, it was. That was the first day. The first day. Now, God probably did this in, it says a day, but all he had to say was let there be light, and it was done. Right? So I mean, it's great when you go to work and all you have to do is work about 2 minutes. And be like, I'm done for the day. Right? But what God did was he created a light that brought forth goodness. And that's what the light of God does in our life. It brings forth goodness. It allows us to know what is good and what is wrong. Amen. Now, this is important, because if we don't accept his light that he sent, we don't know what good is. Good is what I feel like it is. I feel like good is, me getting money. No matter how I get it, as long as I got it, that's good. That's how some people think. So they'll rob, cheat, steal, kill. When we even think about wars, wars come from the greed in other people. Amen? Wars come from somebody else wanting to take what you have, or people just can't get along because they can't see eye to eye, because they don't really know what good is. And sometimes wars take place because, well, always somebody has to be doing wrong for war to take place. Amen? You don't just start fighting your neighbor just because there's something that happened that causes you to fight your neighbor. It's the same with war. But it's the same when we don't accept his light, we cannot understand his truth. We cannot understand his goodness. Amen? So it's important to know that God needed the light to transform this world. Amen? Let's go to Luke chapter 2. Not only did he have that light for the world, but also he said, hey, I know I created light for the world. And at that time that he created that light, there was no sin in the earth. But when there was sin in the earth, he had to send another light. Amen? Matter of fact, it wasn't another light. It was the same light. All right. Now let's look at this. It says Simeon sees God's salvation. Now, Simeon was a we'll read it. And it says in verse 25 of Luke chapter 2. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout. All right. That means he's walking upright in the ways of the Lord, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. Now, this is powerful, because we got to remember, before Jesus, the Holy Spirit wasn't on everybody. Okay? So God had this person ready and waiting to move for his will. Amen? So he's ready. He's serving God. He's seeking God. And then in verse 26 says, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. Okay, so this is God telling Simeon that this is going to happen, right? The Holy Spirit reveals to him that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. All right? So he would not see death until he saw Jesus. Verse 27, so he came by the Spirit, all right? Now what we got to understand is the light and the Spirit of God are the same as well, because the Spirit of God, as one of my definitions were saying, brings an understanding of the of something, right? And the Spirit of God brings an understanding of the Word of God, and it brings a revelation to you. Amen. So we see that he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom and law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, this is what Simeon said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. Now this is kind of interesting that he says this. I don't know if Simeon was in a place where he was like, I don't know if I'm really going to see this, even though I heard God speak to me. Because how many of us have heard God speak to us about something and it takes a long time? And then we kind of wonder, God, was that really you? God, you said we were supposed to preach, God, and it doesn't look like it's flowing the way that we thought it was going to flow. But this guy, Simeon, he says, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. Why? Because sometimes when you hear God tell you something and it takes a while, you begin to grow weary. But what the word God says about growing weary says, do not grow weary, all right, in doing well. For in good season, you shall reap your reward. Amen. It's important that you hold on to the word that God has spoken to you. This is just a side note. It's important that you hold on to the word that God has spoken to you, because despite how long it comes or how long it tarries, it will come to pass. Amen. The Bible says that his word will never return void. So you have to hold on to it and know that it's going to happen. I don't care if it takes 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. I don't care if it takes a month from now. You have to hold on to his word. But in verse 30, he says, for my eyes, somebody say my eyes, have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people. So now what Simeon is saying is, okay, we understand that salvation is coming, but now you've actually prepared something for all of us to see. Not only do I get to see this, we all can see this. Amen. And it says, this is important, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles. Now, this is very important because you got to catch this. Simeon prophesies here that Jesus was going to enlighten people that weren't of the Hebrew or Jewish faith. I'll just use the word Israel, okay? Because we always have to remember that God chose the Israelites because he wanted a people for himself. But also what began to happen was, if you followed the God of the Israelites, you could now come in and be part of the family. That's what happened in the Old Testament. But now God was opening it for everybody. He was having his Holy Spirit enlighten everybody so that they could follow the light. Amen. So this light was going to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Amen. Joseph and his mom was pumped about this. They was excited. That's what it says in verse 33. And they Simeon blessed his mother and said, he continued to prophesy that Jesus will be the fall and the rising of many in Israel. Amen. Now, it's important that we understand that this light is not just for the house of God. All right. Our job is to pray that God let more people see your light. Just like Simeon said, let this light bring revelation to those that are Gentiles, or let's just use another word, for those that don't know who you are. Because the Gentiles didn't know who God was. Aside from the fact that they saw how some of the things that Israel did, and they were just like, man, how did they do that? Oh, it was the God of Israel. How can we say that? Because when Daniel was in, what was it, Babylon, right? And the king had a dream, and nobody can interpret it. Daniel said, I can't interpret it, but God can. Once again, God brought light to his situation, right? And then what happened? He was like, oh my goodness, there's no God like the God of Daniel, right? So what begins to happen is people begin to see God operate in people's lives, or we begin to see God operate in people's lives when we are obedient, and also when we don't take the glory for the light. Amen? It's important that we don't do that, because some people want to take the glory for the light and say, oh yeah, that was me. Now I'm going to have to take a fee because it was me. I worked hard for that one, right? But we don't do that, because the light is God's light. And we are here just like Daniel said, King, it's not me. This is not me. I'm not anybody special. I'm just a vessel. I'm just saying, okay, if you have something to do, look, all your wise men couldn't do it. They prayed to their gods. They couldn't do it. Now I'm going to pray to my God, and there's going to be a difference. Why? Because my God is great. I was singing this week, my God is greater. My God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other, right? My God is healer, awesome in power. Our God. And not only is that, he's the light of the world. And we have to be excited about that. I think sometimes we get in a place where we hide this light. People, hey, we want to talk about Jesus? Not my Jesus. I ain't got time. I don't think I know enough about my God. You know, but God will reveal to others even more than what you know. Right? This is why it's important not to hide who Jesus is in our life. Matthew 5, chapter 13, and I don't even have this in my notes, but I know this talks about the light. Starts with verse 13. It says, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. Now, when we see this, first of all, Jesus is talking about us. He's talking to about us that are believers. But if we are not seasoned, we should be thrown away and trampled underfoot. Then he says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. All right, so it says, let your light shine, not only shine, it says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Now, a lot of people will be like, oh, we're not supposed to do works. Well, the Bible says right there, they should see our good works. We shouldn't just say, oh, I'm a Christian. I don't do anything wrong. I walk this way. You might walk that way. I'm just a good person. Don't bother me. I'm a Christian. You stay over there. We're separate. It doesn't work. Anytime you have the opportunity to be around somebody that is not of God, you need to be of God. You need to have good works. There's times in the Bible where it talks about your enemy. If your enemy wants you to do something, some of us will be like, heck no, I'm not doing it. Oh, you want me to come and do this? Nah, I'm good. I remember how you treated me a couple weeks ago. Wasn't even that long ago. You got the nerve and the audacity to, well, guess what? That might be a test from God to see where your heart is at. Right? Now, your enemy, there's a story about the Good Samaritan. Right? Now we have a whole string of hospitals called the Good Samaritan. And if you look at the story of the Good Samaritan was actually the enemy of the person that was hurt. But he decided to, man, if I was that person, I would want that to happen. I wouldn't want to be left out here. So let me help him out. And not only let me help him out, I'm going to pay for all his expenses that he has with the doctors. He might not have an insurance, but he can use my insurance. Right now, don't do that. I think you can get in trouble for that now. Right? But he said, I'm going to put myself, I'm going to get rid of my schedule, my agenda, to make sure this person is okay. He showed what the light was. Amen? And we have to show our light to this world, the light of God, who is Jesus Christ. We have to show how he changes our lives and how he illuminates our lives. Amen? John 3, verse 17 through 21. And after this, we're going to wrap it up for the day. It says this: for God did not send his son. I'm going to go up because we always hear this verse. For God so loved the world, all right, that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Amen. Then it says, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. All right. So what is that saying? Jesus was sent to save, not to condemn. Some people think God was sent to condemn, or God, all he wants to do is condemn. No, God wants to save. That's the heart of God. God's heart is to save people. That's why he sent a light, so they can understand how they can receive salvation. Jesus was that light. Verse 18 says, he who believes in him is not condemned. All right, so if I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and if I confess my sins and believe in my heart that he is the Son of God, I am saved. Amen? I'm not going to be condemned, right? But it says, he who does not believe is condemned already. You catch that? Because they don't want to believe. Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. All right? And then it says in verse 19, and this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. Okay? This is why they're going to be condemned. They love the darkness rather than light. And then it says, because their deeds were evil. Many people are choosing darkness. You have the choice to choose to live for the Lord, to honor him in all your ways, or do you. And a lot of people are choosing B. I'm going to do me. It's a multiple choice. A, follow Christ, love Christ, accept him, or B, do what I feel like. And people are choosing B. So they will be condemned unless they change. Right? But it says men love darkness. Now, it's funny because if there was no light in the world at all, people wouldn't love that. Right? Matter of fact, there was a plague in Egypt and it was so dark they said they can feel the darkness. Right? Why did they have a plague? Because that's what they loved. They didn't want to accept God. And God was trying to let them know, this is what it's like if I'm not here. This is what it's like if I take my hand off of you. This is what it's like. But men love darkness rather than the light. All right? We're in a world where we must show the light, but there's going to be some people that reject what you do. I wear a t-shirt sometimes that says I'm in love with Jesus. I get cussed out for that shirt by random people that don't know me. Right? Do I change and get a different shirt? Because no. Oh, well. Right? There's people that are being, I always talk about this. There are people that are being killed in other nations because they are saying that they will not denounce Jesus Christ. They're saying that I'm going to follow him. Why? Because I love the light rather than loving the darkness. Right? So there's people that are being killed. There's kids. I read about an 8-year-old this week that because of her stance for Christ, she was beaten in public, stripped, thrown out into the and her family couldn't go get her. Right? These are 8. That's about the same age as my daughter. Right? And I have to tell my kids this. And you know, sometimes they hear me and they're like, man, he's serious about this. But I tell them, listen, if it's life or death and they tell you to forget about Jesus, don't do it. If you have to die for Jesus, die for Jesus. Those are tough things to say, but we live in a world right now where they have to know that. They have to know that he is the only way, he's the only truth, and he is the only light. Amen. Despite how dark this world gets, we must show his light. Amen. Verse 20 says, for everyone practicing evil hates the light. Now, that's what we see. I just talked about that. People that practice evil, they hate what is right. Right? When they are practicing and doing what they want, and you come and tell them, hey, man, Jesus is a wonderful person. He loves you. He can save you. I've heard some choice words when I say some things like that. Why? Because they want to do their own thing. And sometimes you might not even get choice words. It's just people won't return your calls. People don't want to follow. Don't call me. Hey, man, I don't know what you're talking about. You mean this? I'm good. Right? Because they are practicing evil and darkness. When you're practicing living in the darkness, if I bring a light to you, you're going to hate it. Right? That's why sometimes when you're asleep and somebody turns on a light, you're like, man, come on. If somebody came into your house while you're asleep, it's pitch black and they got the super bright LED light and they come put it right in front of your eye, you're going to be upset about it. Why? Because you got used to the darkness while you were sleeping. Right? But that's how people live their lives, in the darkness. No light. So when you shine a light, hey, get out. What are you doing? Get that out of my face. Because they've practiced lives and lifestyles like that. Verse 20 says, for everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. Amen. We have to be in the light. We should want everything we do to be in the light. We should want all the things we say and do to be exposed. Why? Because we are children of the light. Amen. The light of the world. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I just pray, dear God, first of all, we come praying, as Simeon said, dear God, that you would allow your son and the gospel to begin to change people's lives, oh God. That people would hear the gospel and their lives would be changed. I even pray, dear God, for the people causing persecution, oh God. Just like Saul was changed, oh God, to Paul, we pray, dear God, that you do the same thing with them. Dear God, those that are persecuting your church, dear God, change their hearts, oh God. God, we also pray for us, dear God, that we would be lights and ambassadors of your truth. That we show people exactly what it means to look like you and to live like you, oh God. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Let the church say, amen. Amen. If it was impactful to you, go ahead and slip your hand up.
Thank you for spending time with us here at New Creation Christian Center. Feel free to join our worship services on Saturday at 7 p.m. and Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington, 98118. Visit our website, newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.